Now, back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys that compare cheesecake to catnip. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we've been talking this morning with Dr. Alan Beck, who is the director for the Center for Human-Animal Bond at Purdue University. And Dr. Beck, I have a question about some veterans. I've talked with a general's wife who was a guest on our program, and she was stating to us that when a soldier returns from war, the government has no problem in terms of spending money for artificial legs or other things that can solve physical problems. But when it comes to dealing with the mental issues and PTSD, evidently there has been some resistance to spend money for things like dogs. Can you talk a little bit about what you know about that? Because I would think that that's a really good solution for a lot of problems.
And it is. Well, it could be one of the more important solutions. And we are just beginning to look at that. In all fairness, society has always been a little slow to appreciate mental illness compared to things that they could visualize and count and somehow quantify physical illnesses. I mean, psychiatry is a much later specialty in all medical education and so on. So we've always had that sort of prejudice for psychological problems. And so the military is just reflecting what's always been. It's getting better. It's about the only thing you can say. And despite some early, very small anecdotal evidence that animals, especially dogs, are particularly important for the person with PTSD, because it really helps you stay in the present. It gives you something to do. And the truth of the matter is, much of even talk therapy is not going to work if the person is not listening. And you have to stay in the present to really listen and understand, rather than. And animals play that role, and also, of course, dogs encourage some physical activity and walking and so on. So it's there, and it's just an uphill fight. They don't want to put money into it until it's proven and quantified, but if you're not going to do it or quantify it until you start doing it.
Like a catch-22, yeah.
Yes. And we're beginning to, we're looking, I mean, that's about the only nice thing you could say, is that there seems to be an interest in trying to get better and recognize that there are many groups now, warrior-type groups that are really looking at it. More and more trainers are working with dogs that would do well with PTSD people, because you need a dog that's not going to be just can handle some erratic behaviors and so on. It's happening. I am aware of several grants, because I'm on a review committee that looks at them, several grants that really are trying to address this issue. And I think over the next 1 or 2 years, we're going to see some really decent studies using the dog, especially in the PTSD community. And I would actually look forward to seeing other animals as well, like fish, for instance, I think might have a real role.
Sure. So
it's one, you have to sort of accept the fact there's a problem, and I think we're finally there, and now we'll start really studying it.
I did have an encounter not too long ago that kind of ties into this, a customer of mine, a good friend now, and she has kind of a multiple personality disorder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
She's in her 20s. She has never had a better ability to connect and stay connected and to be on top of that problem since she's had a fish aquarium. And the kind of her, fastidious behavior towards the aquarium, her relationship with the fish, the involvement of the family, and her ability to kind of focus on that has really made a life-changing experience. And I'm just curious how many other psychological disorders where that can be of helpful. I mean, she just stopped me dead cold on the floor and just says, hey, Rick, I just want to tell you, I've tried everything. This is the only thing that's ever worked.
It is. No, it is not really all that surprising because we can relate to our animals, whether it be looking at a fish tank or just, you know, feeding a dog. For what it is, it doesn't have some of the baggage that people who are troubled with people. So it's what you see is what you got. There's a kind of simplicity, a life in itself, as Freud would say, in our relationship with dogs. That just facilitates, especially for a person who has some unconscious or conscious issues with feelings towards people. It has the great potential of letting the person really think and really start enjoying life. And then it you quickly start also enjoying people, too. So, you know, it is just a complete relationship without any of the baggage. And whether it's true or not doesn't matter. We can project that relationship on our companion animals and even looking at nature. So it really does. We're finally learning to use that to our advantage.
Sure. I have a question. So when we see dogs, mainly, out in the workplace or society, and they'll have a jacket that, you know, reflects that they're a service dog, whenever I connect with that person, there always seems to be a reasonably legitimate reason for having that dog. And yet you brought up earlier in the conversation the concern for, I guess, false reasons. And what kind of percentage do you think there is? Because I think there's two areas. There's the people that have figured out that these dogs are helpful and gone to the trouble of getting a jacket, but they aren't necessarily licensed, if you will, or recognized. And then there's those that are truly using the system. Do you have an idea or a sense of what kind of percentage game we're talking about?
No, and that's a wonderful question. And I think the legitimate service dog industry, which has been frustrated by this and really being hurt, would love to know the answer, too. And I don't even know how one gets that.
Yeah, I always find that we tend to overestimate some of the concerns, if you follow what I'm saying. A 5% issue in the minds of everybody becomes a 50% issue.
We do tend to, it's true, exaggerate how serious something is because it helps justify our concern for it. You're absolutely right. And I just, that's why I don't even want to use a number. I actually don't have any idea what
any
the
idea. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Well, Dr. Beck, we are unfortunately running out of time for our conversation today, but I do want to say that we applaud you for the work that you're doing. And I can honestly say that there was a story a few weeks back about how, if I'm not mistaken, the Pope has decided that animals really do go to heaven. I've got to think that it's your work that's telling us that we need in heaven to have our animals up there with us, and the Pope is going along. So I guess we've got you to thank.
I appreciate that, though I suspect the Pope is using a slightly different source.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on our show. We've been talking with Dr. Alan Beck, who is the director for the Center for Human-Animal Bond at Purdue University. Doctor, we want to thank you for getting our 2015 off to a great start. We really appreciate your time today.
It was truly my pleasure. Thank you.
It was our pleasure as well. And Rick, that's it. We're off to a new start this year with 2015. And next week will be our big anniversary show, Rick. We made it 5 years, half a decade.
Going on six.
It'll be a great conversation. So on behalf of our producer, Joe Sanders, my co-host in the studio, Rick Pruse, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend, a great week ahead. We'll talk again next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And in the meantime, please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hey, got some ideas for a show? Questions? Maybe suggestions? Just email us, mmpets@1320wils.com, or message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mmpets.